Father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Happy March, everybody. We are into the third month of the season. This is meteorological spring, although looking out the window, you wouldn't see that out there. But we're also, I'm sure, as you're aware, 5 days away from the beginning of the holy season of Lent and Ash Wednesday. I've been giving some suggestions as to what people might think about doing for their Lenten disciplines, whether that's giving something up, taking something up, or my favorite, both. And just continuing on in that same vein, this is one that I didn't get from, or I got from somebody else, so I can't take credit for it. But how about giving yourself options? So maybe you're going to spend 30 minutes with the Lord each day in a particular way, but that way can change. So either you can spend 30 minutes in prayer personally, you can maybe give 30 minutes of Eucharistic adoration, you can go to a daily Mass, you can say morning and evening prayer, you can say the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. All these different options, and just so you get one of those 30 minutes in each day, maybe that's something you can do. Another option that you could do is you could reach out and contribute to the common good, which many Catholics, about 1,100 Catholics, did just the February 19th at the Catholics at the Capitol event, which was put on by the Minnesota Catholic Conference. And actually, we've got Jason Adkins, who's the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, on the line with us. Jason, how are you doing?
Great, Patrick. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. So I just have to ask you, Jason, a little bit later in the program, we're going to have some interviews, some man-on-the-street interviews that we did with people who are attending Catholics at the Capitol. But as the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, how do you think the event went?
Oh, it was an exciting day. Just really opening the doors of the People's House and helping people see that this is a place that is accessible to them, that breaking down some barriers to faithful citizenship, helping them understand that legislators are in many ways just like them. They want to hear their concerns. They want to have their citizens and their constituents reach out to them. And then to hear from so many elected officials of both parties that Catholics and their perspectives were, in fact, welcome at the Capitol, and to be thanked by public officials for coming there, and the people made a great sacrifice to spend the day in faithful citizenship. But it's our house, and people really had a powerful experience of that, and that was a really exciting part of the day for us.
Absolutely. Any surprises, pleasant surprises that you weren't expecting?
Well, we do this, the folks here, the staff, the conference, we do this on a daily basis, and we know that our voice as a church is appreciated in the public square. We have good relationships with legislators across the ideological spectrum. We work to find common ground for the common good, but then to see so many people experiencing that for the first time and have so many misconceptions about the political process, have those fall by the wayside and people really feeling empowered, that's always just really encouraging to see.
Very good. And in comparison with the last Catholics at the Capitol, any things that you're thinking about for maybe next time too?
We are always looking at ways to help people bring their faith into everyday life, as Relevant Radio likes to say, right? And so we're looking at different options. And some people like the big crowd at Catholics at the Capitol. Other people like our smaller Capitol 101 events. So we're always thinking about, what's successful in a day like Catholics at the Capitol? What do people really appreciate? And then thinking about ways in which we can translate that into other events or different days on the Hill. I think next session in 2020, we're already thinking about some new options for helping people get to the Capitol and be a voice for life and dignity there. So really exciting things we learned, and we're going to take those and build some more creative opportunities for faithful citizenship in 2020.
Wonderful. If people are so desperate for Lenten discipline ideas that they actually take my advice and they decide that one of their Lenten disciplines is going to reach out and engage in the political process for the common good from their Catholic faith perspective, any suggestions as to what they might do over this holy season of Lent?
Well, the first and the easiest is to join the Catholic Advocacy Network. So at the Minnesota Catholic Conference, we have something that makes it really easy for Catholics to participate in the political process, and it's called the Catholic Advocacy Network, which you can sign up for at our website, mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org. What the Catholic Advocacy Network does is allow you, with a click of a mouse, to send a message to your legislator. So we send you action alerts about key issues when those issues are right on the front burner for legislators, and because we have your address, we allow you to zip a message right to your legislator. So you can take the pre-crafted message that we send, you can personalize it, and then again, it really takes you 60 seconds to send a message, and legislators really appreciate hearing that, and it helps move important legislation forward or stops legislation that could be a threat to life and dignity in Minnesota. So one of the easy things to do is to join the Catholic Advocacy Network.
Yeah, 60 seconds a day, that seems doable to me. Well, Jason, I want to thank you for all your work with Catholics at the Capitol and with the Minnesota Catholic Conference. Again, we're going to have some Man on the Street interviews later on in the program today, just from people and their experience there. I think if you listen in, you'll be pleasantly surprised. Thanks again for all your work, Jason, and thanks for being on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thanks so much, Patrick. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, in addition to later on coming up with those interviews at Catholics at the Capitol, we also are joined today by Father John Eckert, who is with us to share a little bit about Lent through the eyes of Scripture. And then a little bit later on, we'll be with Matt Zarrison, who's going to talk about the Newman Connection and exactly what that's all about. If you're interested in how to connect high school students with a college faith experience, you'll want to tune in for that interview as well. So as we start the program today, let's, as always, pause and dedicate the show to our Lord through the intercession of our blessed mothers. Together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Going to break, but when we come back, Father John Eckers is with us. Lent through the eyes of Scripture. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Truth begs to be taken for the next time. All faith is shaken, we'll find. As all things are made right in time.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Father John Eckert is with us. He is the pastor of Holy Trinity Parish, serving the two churches of Holy Trinity and St. Augustine in South St. Paul. And prior to his current pastorate, he was a professor of Sacred Scripture at the University of St. Thomas and the St. Paul Seminary, specializing in New Testament. And he is here today to talk to us about Lent through the eyes of Scripture. Hello, Father. Welcome back to the program.
Good to be back, Patrick. Thank you.
Always good to have you on. So this whole holy season of Lent, which for some Catholics, some of our listeners, I'm sure, is something that they've done time and time and time again. And maybe they're looking for a little new way of approaching it, and maybe that way is through Scripture. How can we approach Lent through Scripture, Father?
Well, Scripture has much to offer, and the Church presents us really with a blueprint for following Scripture in the not only the Sunday Masses, but the weekday Masses of Lent. So for your listeners who do attend Mass daily, I would highly recommend maybe even in advance of Mass, looking at the readings for that Mass. That can be done in a missal if somebody owns one, or online easily, and to reflect upon them in light of the holy season of Lent, even in advance of Mass. The Church draws heavily upon the prophets of the Old Testament during this Lenten time. You know, the prophets were rarely or never sent by God when everything was fine.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
They didn't come and say, keep up the good work,
yeah, right,
Israelites.
Right, yeah.
They were sent when God's people were in error and sin, religiously and morally, to warn them and to call them back, to call them to prayer and penance and almsgiving, the three themes of our Lenten season, to avoid chastisement, but simply to do what is right and good. And so there'll be a combination of prophecies and prophets who are calling us to this repentance, but also there's always the bright side of prophecies where after there's been a conversion or a chastisement, God restores his people. And so we'll have those themes coming from the prophets. We'll also have from the Old Testament some of the historical works that are important, that that are fulfilled in Christ and fulfilled in the Passion, Crucifixion, and Resurrection. So from some of the historical works, the Church will draw for the first lesson or reading. And then the Gospels, of course, are carefully chosen with the Lenten theme in mind. Ash Wednesday's Gospel will be calling us to prayer and to penance and to almsgiving. The first Sunday of Lent, I might want to stop on that one.
Sure.
And talk a bit about that first Sunday of Lent when we have the pericope, which means a kind of a unified part of Scripture, a pericope, this year from St. Luke's Gospel, of our Lord in the desert or wilderness for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that because really the season of Lent as to its duration and focus draws heavily upon the 40 days of our Lord. And in fact, that's where we get the 40 days of Lent from that biblical experience. And, you know, going into that wilderness, which preceded our Lord's ministry, first of all, he's led there by the Holy Spirit. And after 40 days and nights without food and water, here comes Satan, the ancient tempter. You know, and I just want to say a little bit about that fallen angel and the fallen angels. The church fathers and great theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas speculated that the fall of the angels was over the incarnation of God as man, that God revealed, at least in some manner, that one day he would become incarnate, and that the angels who had pride rebelled against the divine plan that God would join himself to a creature lower than themselves. And so throughout human history, starting with our parents, Adam and Eve, the fallen angels have had a particular hatred towards humanity with this in mind, and out of envy have wanted to bring us down from the start. And so when we look at Christ going out into the wilderness and encountering Satan, the ancient serpent, it really draws us back to Adam in the garden, Adam and Eve, when Satan was allowed to go in there to test them. And so we should see Christ's time in the desert. And notice, by the way, how we've gone from paradise to a desert.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the consequences of sin.
That's a great point, yeah.
But we should see Christ as the new Adam, who is going to, unlike the first Adam, succumb to the testing and rebel against God. The new Adam is going to absolutely resist these temptations or testings, even before he begins his ministry, and he'll complete this work at the cross, thereby starting to reverse the curse and starting, in a very real way, the defeat of the evil one and all that we've suffered because of the fall of the first Adam.
Mm-hmm.
So we should see ourselves that we live under consequences of the fallen Adam, but going into Lent, we want to be like the new Adam, in that all of the testings and so on that come to us from whatever source, we simply continually choose for God and not for sin. Another aspect of that would be Satan did not know for certain whether Christ was divine. Satan and the angels were certainly familiar with some details that they observed around the birth of Christ some 30 years before. But Satan not only wants to test or tempt Christ into failure early on, as he did with the original Adam, but to test and see if he has the miraculous powers that only the Son of God would have. And so that's really his purpose going into this. Whereas from Christ's perspective, he's going in as the new Adam. And also that 40-day increment is reflective of the Old Testament experience of the 40 years of wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. And so he goes in as the new Israel too, which collectively was the Son of God, to again, instead of succumbing to failures of religion and morality like the Israelites, to say no to evil and to yes to God. And it's interesting in these temptations, the three of them, they each try and test our Lord in a different manner early on. And later in his ministry and at the Passion and Cross, strengthened and having said no to these, Christ will more definitively again resist temptations. For instance, the temptation to sensuality or to satisfy his hunger, to which he said no. Well, at the cross and prior to that in his passion, rather than free himself from suffering, he embraced completely the passion and the cross. The temptation to have throw himself from a height and be saved by his angels. Again, at the cross, he could have called in countless angels to save him from this. He did not. And then finally, the offer to rule over the kingdoms of the world. This was a constant temptation put to him, even by the faithful, the Jewish people, who wanted to make him a king, an earthly king. Mm-hmm. And so did his apostles. He said no to that all along. So Christ is our model going into Lent and throughout Lent, not only for the 40 days, but for the fact that he continually said no to sin and yes to God the Father.
Here's something that's just going on in my head, Father, as you're talking about these things, and particularly around that Lenten discipline of fasting and going all the way back to the first sin, the sin of our first parents, of actually involved, according to Genesis, eating something. And then we have Jesus out in the wilderness fasting. And I'm thinking of another encounter that he had with his disciples when he says, you know, when they went into town to get something to eat in John 4, and they come back and he's having this conversation with a Samaritan woman, and he tells them, "I have food that you know not of." And it seems to me like there's this interplay of both fasting and of relying on the spiritual nourishment that we get. And of course, Jesus himself leaves us him as our bread and wine. And I'm just wondering if you can expound a little bit on the Lenten discipline of fasting, particularly in mind, though, that we are both body and soul, that we do need physical nourishment.
Certainly. And the first sin of our parents involved taking a bite out of a forbidden fruit. We shouldn't look upon that as equivalent of a child taking a cookie out of a cookie jar when mom and dad have said, "Don't touch the cookie jar." Their desire for this fruit was really their desire to become gods themselves. Mm-hmm. So the test that was put to them was of rebelling against God as a creature. And hence it was a terrible mortal sin. In fact, the sin occurred even before their lips touched the fruit. It occurred when in their will they desired to do what Satan had suggested to them and planned to take the bite from the fruit. However, one of the consequences of that mortal sin that comes to us in original sin is what we call concupiscence, which means we have inordinate desires for things, to have things that might be good, but to have them in excess, or to desire something that's not truly our good. And so we have concupiscence, that desire that the original Adam and Eve did not have until after they had sinned. And so we struggle through life with these desires. And fasting helps us in this regard to curb that concupiscence towards food and other material things that can tend to dominate our lives. And so fasting, whether it's from food in particular, and many people fast from something else as well, in addition to what's required of us with regards to food, fasting from maybe some other particular recreational thing that they would normally do, or from alcohol or something, whatever it might be, that fasting, even if it's something legitimate for us, by denying ourselves that, the body, that it helps us to attend to the spiritual side of ourselves and to have a greater desire for spiritual realities, and then ultimately to put in perspective material things in as much as they can be good and compatible with our spiritual lives. And as you noted, of course, the greatest spiritual food that we have is the Holy Eucharist, which nourishes us. And I was glad you mentioned an encouragement to attend Mass as often as possible during that holy season of Lent. But that's what we're about. We're fasting isn't an end to itself,
right?
You know, because food is good and it's a gift from God. But for a time, at least, we deny ourselves certain foods and other things, and it helps to overcome that concupiscence and desire more perfectly what we should.
There is a time to fast and a time to eat, yes. Okay, so just in our couple remaining minutes here together, Father, first of all, you mentioned the daily Mass readings is a good place to start if people are looking to do some reflection. How might people reflect? Do you have any tips on how they might reflect? Because sometimes we can just open the Bible or open the app or whatever we're reading the readings out of and just read it. But how do we actually pray with the Scriptures?
Well, one should, first of all, try and be free from the usual distractions. So for some people, they may spend it in an adoration chapel, but that's not necessary. You could have a particular place, even at work or at home, that's quiet and maybe set aside for that. Maybe some people do something devotional, even like light a candle or something, and start to get your focus together, and have a sense of how the Church chooses these readings. In the season of Lent, that first reading is going to be chosen with a Lenten theme. It may or may not directly relate to a gospel text, but understand, again, if it's a reading from the prophets, to try and attend to very carefully each line of what the prophet is saying. And if it's a word of warning and of chastisement, understand that that it's intended to remind us of what sin is and its consequences and so on, even if it doesn't directly apply to us. And when you have the word of hope, you know, we should try and internalize those words of the prophet. And then with regards to the gospel texts, you know, as we get closer and closer to Holy Week and into Holy Week, they're going to very much focus on the events most immediately leading up to that. So we're going to be following Christ our Lord into Jerusalem. And even before that, Jesus travels from the northernmost part of the Holy Land down to Jerusalem, and all along the way he's prophesying and telling his apostles that he's going as Son of Man to suffer and to die and then to rise. So really try to get into the spirit of this, and especially again as we get closer to Holy Week, even chronologically, you'll be able to follow the gospel. Literally, try and imagine yourself following Christ on that final journey to Jerusalem and through that week of his passion, his betrayal, to the cross, and then, of course, after that, to the resurrection.
Wonderful. Father John Ecker, thank you for joining us on the Rediscover Hour today. Before we let you go, I'm just wondering if you would leave us with your blessing, please.
Certainly. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. And come back and see us soon. All right. So if we say goodbye to Father Eckert, we are saying hello to Matt Zarrison, who's the president and co-founder of something called Newman Connection. Hello, Matt, and welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And did I get your last name right?
Pretty close. Zeruzin.
Zeruzin. Yeah. Okay. All right. Almost, anyway. So it's great to have you on the program today. And I'm interested in learning more about Newman Connection. I got to admit, I haven't done a lot of research on it. So why don't you just launch into it, as you are the co-founder and the president of it. Where did the idea come from and how did it get started?
Well, honestly, the idea, I'm from Illinois, small town in Illinois. And I'm a fan of the University of Illinois. We have a football team that's historically been not the greatest.
Well, we're from Minnesota, so I...
yeah, you can relate.
I understand, yeah.
So yeah, I was on the sideline of a football game, and we were getting beat pretty heftily. You know, it was the second half, and I ran into a Catholic priest down there on the sideline, and I just started talking to him. And he kind of told me about his ministry, what was going on, his facility. He invited me over after the game. He said, you know what, Matt, why don't you just come check it out? Let me show you what you got, what we have. And, you know, I didn't go to college myself, so I wasn't super familiar with any of the campus ministry or its operations. But anyway, so after the game, you know, went over there Saturday night. It's probably like 9:30 at night. You know, I'm thinking, boy, there's not going to be anybody here. You know, all the students are going to be out doing whatever it is they do on a Saturday night.
Right, yep.
But I was totally wrong. All the students were there. They were all gathered. Some of them were, I mean, it just felt like a very good, wholesome environment. They were playing games. They were having fun, you know, talking about their faith. And I just thought, man, this is really cool. And so I just looked to the father and I said, you know, does this exist on every single campus? And at Illinois, they're blessed to have a residential component where almost 600 students live on site.
Wow.
And so he said, you know, with the ministry component, yeah, they're everywhere. But he said, with this residential housing component, he said, no, we're the only one. And I'm like, gosh, not for long. That's what I told him.
Okay.
And so the next day, we kind of founded Newman Connection. Very next day, I said, look, this is what I want to do. I want to help these people, and I want to figure out a way to help campus ministry. So we literally hired a guy, bought a car, sent him out on the road, and just said, look, just go visit these centers, tell us what's out there, and let's figure out a way we can help. We knew we wanted to help. We had no idea how. And so every night he would send me back a report about 10 o'clock at night, and he would say, okay, Matt, I went to this one and this one. Here's what I found. And we just did that. We just kept doing that.
So he's out there just...
And before long, we started to recognize, you know, there were some commonalities, some things of need. And that's basically how we've built our company and built all of our programs. And that was about... almost 10 years ago now.
Okay. All right. So basically, he's out on the road visiting all these different Newman centers around the country and funneling that information back to you. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
And,
well,
and, you know, like I said, we started seeing some commonalities. And, you know, one of the big things we saw, it was, I guess, kind of disappointing, was that the outreach on the campuses. So, you know, imagine yourself, you're a campus minister. It's the first week of school. So, you know, you're out on the quad or wherever students are gathered. They're walking by. You know, you've got a table. You've got some brochures. You know, students start walking by. You're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before long, you know, students are walking by. They're not interested in what you have. You can't get their attention. You can't even identify if they're Catholic. That's the way we run outreach on our college campuses. And so we just kept thinking, man, there's got to be a better way.
Right.
Got to be a better way.
Okay.
And, you know, I was just thinking, a week before we sent them off to college, we knew who they were. Like, we knew who they were because they were in our parishes, or they were with their parents who are in our parishes. And so we just thought, you know, there needs to be a way to connect students from high school to college through the parishes and through the high schools. And so we started this big program, and it actually was done in conjunction with the Sarah Club. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yeah, of course, sure.
But the Sarah Club had already kind of had this program started, and we just kind of merged with them, united with them, and decided to turn it into something big. And so what we really do now is we reach out to all the Catholic high schools in the country and all the parishes, and we try to identify graduating high school seniors, get their information, an email address, a cell phone number or something, and we have a database that we put it into so that when we enter that name, the campus minister gets a notification and says, hey, you know, I've got a new student. I need to reach out to them.
Mm.
And the idea is that we can reach out to them before they get on campus,
mm-hmm.
because anybody who's sent a son or daughter or anybody off to college knows that that first week or two, I mean, they're going to make decisions that will affect the rest of their life.
That is so true. When I started college myself, I remember it was during my orientation weekend. I went to a church service on Sunday. This was actually before I was Catholic, but I went to a church service on Sunday. I went to that same church throughout my college career. Had I not gone to that church service, who knows if I even would have gone to church. So I applaud that. That's a great way. Now, just so I got this right, you reach out to all of the Catholic high schools and parishes throughout the nation?
I say that. Sounds ambitious, huh?
Yeah, it does. It sounds incredible in the literal meaning of that word. Okay.
There are about 1,200 Catholic high schools, and we call every single one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
We call all the high schools for sure. We're endorsed in about 100 different dioceses right now. In fact, Bishop Cousins has endorsed our program in your area.
Yep.
And so what we do then is we send a packet of information out to each of your parishes, and then we try to work through either the pastor, the priest, a youth minister, or, you know, somebody local. And so we have a big call center that does nothing. Actually, we're getting ready to start next week. We do nothing but make 50, 60 calls a day per person to all these different parishes, trying to get them to bring awareness to the program, for one, and then number two, to try to get the names of their graduating high school seniors. So, you know, I say reach out to all of them. We do that on social. We do it through email. We are targeting everybody, but, you know, actually calling, we're probably getting to about, we'll mail probably close to 10,000 packets this year.
Wow. Well,
but getting them on the phone, we're probably closer to, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 parishes.
That's still impressive. Wow. So outside of the packets of information and the social, all the outreach that you do to try to connect, you know, incoming freshmen to some of the opportunities that are there for them faith-wise on campus, do you do any kind of other activities or events or anything like that to help spur interest?
Well, this today, what I'm on, I mean, we get on the radio and spread the word. I mean, you guys have got a powerful platform for us, and, you know, we try to get on as many different stations as we can. We got on EWTN last year. We try to do some TV. We're just out trying to bring awareness to the program because, you know, people who are listening who are in parishes, like, we need their help. We need some support. We need somebody at each parish in all across the country to help implement the program. Bring it to your parish priest. I mean, you can sign up on our website and get more information, and we can send you a packet of information if you're interested in bringing it to your parish. It's really easy to run. I mean, this year we're promoting a graduation mass. I don't know. Do you have graduation masses and events at most of your parishes up there? Do you know?
We do have graduation masses for the Catholic high schools. I know that much.
We're trying to get them installed in the parishes this year because, you know, try to just say honor the graduates, the people who've gone to your church, you know, for their whole school life thus far, and just honor them. You know, bring them up, give them a blessing, or if you don't have a graduation mass, at least do a graduation send-off. Just say, you know, look, bring your books in, your book bag, or whatever, and we'll kind of bless you on your way. And then at the same time, we just have an ambassador, the priest, or whomever will get up, you know, right before the final blessing and just say, you know, look, students, you know, you've been here, and we want to stay connected with you. We want to get some information, and it's also our duty to connect you to your next step. You know, we want to connect you to your campus minister to ensure that you stay involved in the church and your faith life strengthens. And, you know, we all know that once you go off to college, that's when, you know, you're independent, you're making your own decisions, you really start to challenge some of the things that you've been taught to believe. And, you know, if we don't, as a church, get these students connected and keep them connected early on, I mean, the stats are bad. I mean, 80% of students stop practicing when they go off to college. Mm-hmm. And only 10% actually find the ministry on their own. Mm-hmm. So if we don't do something, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Matt Zarrison, the founder and president, co-founder president of Newman Connection, connecting high school students to Newman centers and other campus ministries going on throughout the nation. Matt, just curious, well, you mentioned your website. What is your website?
NewmanConnection.com.
Okay, well, that's easy enough. NewmanConnection.com, and that's N-E-W-M-A-N after blessed, soon-to-be saint, John Henry Cardinal Newman. That's exciting.
He's got the news.
Yeah, it's exciting. So you talked about this. It's been going for about 10 years now. What kind of fruit have you seen?
Well, the high school outreach program is under the Sierra Club. It's been going on for quite a while. Under our leadership now, we're on, I think, our fifth year. And so in the past 3 years alone, you know, it keeps growing and growing. Last year we connected about 75,000 students. I think over the past 4 years we've connected over 200,000 total.
Wow.
Students to campus ministry. And so this year we kind of keep pushing and keep pushing. We're going to try to get over 80,000 this year.
That's amazing. 80,000 students.
Yeah. Right. It's a little daunting to think about as we get started next week.
That's right. That's right. How long, just so you start next week, how long does all this connection work go throughout the year?
Well, when we push the graduation mass, I mean, most of those happen in May.
So, yeah, right.
You know, we'll just be making a ton of calls here early. But, you know, if we miss graduation mass for some parishes, like I said, we push that send-off at the end towards, you know, if we miss graduation mass, we just say, hey, you can still have a send-off. Just mm-hmm. bless them before they go. Or, mm-hmm. you know, what? Do both.
Yeah, so you have this graduation mass, great idea, you know, to honor the students who have made it through high school and are now stepping out into this new venture of college, university life and that sort of thing. Just curious, Matt, if you could speak to the parents of those who are in that phase of stepping from high school into college, what would you encourage them to do to help their children maintain the faith?
I think the biggest thing is 1 out of 10 students actually find the center on their own. So if you've got a student going off to college and you haven't looked at the ministry yet, do it. Please do it. Please make it a part of the process. Make it a stop on your campus visit. Just go stop by, visit the people. You know, there's only so many things that you can do as a parent or a grandparent. I mean, you can call them and say, did you go to church on Sunday? And sometimes that works opposite, the opposite way that you want. But what we have found is if you connect them to the ministry, and then we work with campus ministers now, so we work on the other side of the coin too, not just the connection piece, but we also work on the outreach side. You know, what's a good outreach to a student look like? And the best practice there is have another student reach out to them.
Yeah.
Have somebody who's their peer reach out to them. And so when they get on campus, you know, whether it's move-in day or on your campus visit, you know, they'll meet somebody like them and who can say, look, you know what? I know you're nervous. I know you're coming to college. You have a ton of questions. Look, I was here 2 years ago, and here's what I did, and here's what worked for me. So now they've got friends. And so that friend is involved in the ministry, and they're going to Mass on the weekends. And so it's a lot harder for that person to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
Because when you have 4 or 5 friends who are going to Mass, you know, maybe one of them had a rough night before, and they decide, I'm not going to go. But the other 4 or 3 will go. And so, you know, the odds of staying connected are way higher when the connection is made through a student. So my advice to parents, make campus ministry a part of your college decision. We have a huge database on our site. If you go to our Connect tab, you can drop down and see. We have a link called Find a Campus. We have ministries identified all across the country. Now, some of them are, you know, they have their own buildings, you know, they're real robust ministries, and some of them, like at the junior college level and things like that, we have paired to a local parish who may have a, you know, a young adult mass or an intentional mass for college students. Many times it's, you know, the 7 or 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. They call it the last chance mass.
Yep, yep.
Gosh, those college students love that one.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, having worked with college students myself, I know that they operate on a different time schedule than what I do as a middle-aged guy. Right, yeah. Well, Matt, I want to thank you for all of your work with the Newman Connection. It sounds like you've done a lot of the work already for, I mean, the Holy Spirit obviously still needs to be in control, but you've done a lot of the groundwork, the legwork for parents as well as for campus ministries. And thank you for your work. And thank you for being with us on the Rediscover Hour today.
Thanks for all that you do.
All right. NewmanConnection.com. Parents, check it out. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
We are going to go to break. When we come back, those Man on the Street interviews from Catholics at the Capitol. Take a listen to what your fellow parishioners said as they attended this important event. Stay with us.
I don't think every Catholic really knows what the Church teaches and what the truth is. And that's why I thank God for venues like Relevant Radio, where you're teaching what God teaches.
We're here to help you. We're here to say, hey, this is where true happiness will be found. Here's the truth about marriage. Here's the truth about life. Here's the truth that will bring you fulfillment. And you're not going to find that any other place than in Jesus Christ. And Relevant Radio's whole mission is to make sure that that message reaches you and souls who perhaps are really blinded by the great deception of our day, by the culture. If you really want to change your culture, keep Relevant Radio booming.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
I believe in a peace that flows deeper than pain. The broken find healing in love.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM Golden Valley Studios, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. The Rediscover Hour was present at the Catholics at the Capitol event on the 19th of February, and we talked to a number of people attending as well. Let's listen in and see what they had to say.
My name is Katie, and I'm from Benson, Minnesota. This is actually my second time being at this particular event. I like the whole message. I like just seeing and watching all the Catholics. I like to see all the pro-life movement information in the booths here. And I'm interested in the speakers. I'm interested in seeing Jim Caviezel. I'm very interested to hear his story. What is God calling us to do? What missions do we need to be involved in? Just being not so indifferent, actually getting up and getting off the couch and participating in things.
Sister Bridget Mary from Denver, Colorado.
Sister Mara, originally from Brainerd-Baxter area, but we both live in Winona, Minnesota. I think predominantly we're here to support the Catholic faith and representing, you know, the Catholic social teaching to the legislators and just, you know, gathering together in common belief and hope and how we, you know, help our nation really strive for holiness and supporting the dignity of the human person.
Honestly, the Mass was just beautiful to be together and to start the day in prayer to see how the Lord manifests himself in all the different ways through today.
Reflecting on the beauty of all these people that come together from the broad areas of our state and, you know, representing their faith in the public square is just something that I think is really powerful and necessary in our day.
I think just solidarity with the greater Catholic community here in Minnesota and to grow in patriotism and love for our nation and to really take to heart praying for our leaders and for policies that represent Christ in the Church.
Here with our own Archbishop Hebda.
Thank you, Patrick. Just the idea of having 1,100 Catholics together to learn and then to act on the gospel is exhilarating, really. And we already are off to a good start with the celebration of Holy Eucharist. And Bishop Lavore gave us our marching orders that we're supposed to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so this is one of the ways the bishop reminded us that we exercise our prophetic office, is going forth and to really share this beautiful teaching of Jesus. How could we possibly check our faith as we enter that public square? It's really important that we stand up for who we are, that we allow our voices to be heard, because we think we have something really to contribute to public discourse. And for us to hold back on that would be irresponsible. Well, I would encourage you to look at the website for the Minnesota Catholic Conference. You'd be able to hear some of those great talks that are going on today. Also get a sense for what are the issues that are important to us as Catholics, why our Catholic social teaching is something that motivates us. Really, it's just important that we recognize how easy it is to engage with our public officials and who want to hear from us. And so to have that opportunity really to share those things that are deep within our heart is part of who we are as Catholics.
My name is Bernie Revering, and I'm here with my wife, Sue. And we're from Isanti area. So many things out there. There's so many competing ideas on the same issue, you know. We need to get a good Catholic perspective. I'm just looking forward to being educated.
My name is Anindal, and I'm from Peterson, Minnesota. Some of my friends invited me to go, and I think this would be a very good opportunity. I'm excited to hear Jim Caviezel talk.
Here with Bishop Andrew Cousins.
Oh, it's such an inspiring event. So incredible to see so many devoted Catholics who are willing to come out and actually testify in public to the importance of our Catholic faith and the impact it can have on our culture. I'm actually excited about the visits we're going to make to our legislators and to our senators. And so it's just a great opportunity for dialogue and to practice charity when we go and talk to people, because I'm going to be talking to people who disagree with me today. but to propose what we know and believe to be the truth, which is good for everyone. So I'm very excited about that. We did have, all the bishops of Minnesota had lunch with the governor yesterday, though, and it was actually a very warm meeting and trying to build relationship, because a lot of politics is relationships. And in the public square, we have to really work at charity and building relationship, because then we can use that to influence the good. Well, I hope they take home this fact that they can make a difference in our republic, in our country, in our state, in our local government, because of their involvement, and that it's actually an obligation as Catholics. Part of our living our faith is that we have to advocate for what's true and what's right. The political process is the process that our country runs by, and so we have an obligation to be involved. So I'm hoping they feel empowered and encouraged to know that with their Catholic faith, they can make a difference in the world.
Hi, I'm Fatima Mota. I am from Winona Cotter Schools, Catholic boarding school. First of all, I saw that Jim Caviezel was coming. I am very touched by his story and how he lived up his faith. I am a very traditional Catholic, so coming here and to see all the people who are supporting the faith, that's why I came. The different organizations that are providing information on how to live a better life, in living in a Christ life. So I'm just excited for everything.
I'm David Cruz. I'm coming from Adrian, Minnesota.
Ryan Kruger, Adrian, Minnesota. Just to be a voice for the Catholics and what we believe in.
Same thing. You know, this is one of God's calls, that He calls us to be involved. I love in St. Paul that we have the Capitol building and we have the cathedral right down the street, you know, and it just represents two very, very necessary parts of humanity, you know, and for one to be involved in the other is absolutely necessary, especially the church and politics, yeah. You know, coming here and experiencing it for the first time is hopefully going to bring about some confidence as far as what can we do and how can we do it, and how can we make a difference, how can we be involved, especially going to these meetings and lobbying. Just seeing how it's done and what kind of questions are asked and what kind of discussions and what kind of effect it has is absolutely imperative to making a difference.
The rosaries have begun here in the Capitol Rotunda. A rosary will be said every half hour throughout the afternoon for the intentions, of course, of everything that we're going to be talking about with the legislators.
My name is John Island. I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a very basic thing, really. I think it's important for people to advocate for human dignity on a wide scale, and that manifests itself in a variety of different ways, but that's really the heart of what I'm trying to do and what I think everybody else is too. This event in particular, I think it's a great introduction for basic involvement from a Catholic perspective in politics at a local level. I think it's excellent for that.
I'm Megan Keller, and I'm from Rogers, Minnesota.
I'm Hannah Gredeman, and I'm from Monticello.
Then where do you attend school?
Holy Spirit Academy in Monticello. I was driving with my mom, and then she started talking about it, and after she was like talking about how much of an impact we can make, even as young people in Minnesota, it made me want to just go and hear what other people are saying and grow stronger in my faith and my beliefs and like the rights that we have.
Well, I see a lot of like teenagers like our age grow really lukewarm in their faith or lose it. And I think it's a good thing to come and support all the things that Catholic supports, like supporting no abortions. If a mom is allowed to like kill her child, which is supposedly like the strongest love there is, then what does that mean? Like, people have to be like aware of it, especially people our age. It's important to have a state that supports the right things.
High schoolers my age will know that they can make an impact, and even if they go to a big event like this, even one person just makes a really loud noise.
Hi, I'm Kathy Carson, and I'm from Waconia, Minnesota. Well, as a parent, it was just important to me to take a stand and to have a voice for the voiceless, and I came here today with my son, and I just felt a responsibility to stand up for those issues that are important for us as human beings, as believers in Jesus Christ. Well, my hope and my prayer is that it is just the beginning of a just incredible movement towards respect for all human beings from conception to natural death, and that we just begin to, you know, just to take a stand for those issues that matter to all.
Brother Pio from St. Paul, one of the Franciscan Brothers of Peace. Most of our community is here today, which is great, because I think it's really, really important for us to be involved in the public policy and public life as Catholics. There's been good presentations. Archbishop Chaput and Jim Caviezel, everybody who's talked has been inspiring, advocating, and there's so much excitement. To see all the young people here has been fantastic too. They can make a difference, and if we don't make our views known and our beliefs known and what we think, is needed for the common good, then our legislators can't act on that.
Morgan McCleary, and I'm from Duluth, Minnesota.
Maria Detzler, and I'm from Duluth, Minnesota.
I came because I don't know a lot about the voting process of when it comes to the church and what some of the church's teachings are in regards to our current legislation. So I came just to learn a lot more.
Yeah, I came more to learn more about the legislation process and to just grow stronger in my beliefs and be around other Catholics.
I thought that the materials that were given to us were really good and really helpful, and I thought that I learned a lot from the people who have been here before and knew more about what they were talking about, so I really enjoyed watching them work. I think the website with all the resources available to us is going to be really helpful, showing me what's relevant currently in Minnesota and especially in my area.
Yeah, same. Just being more aware of what is actually taking place and what issues are current.
Cindy Heimer from Adams, Minnesota.
Mark Ingesser from Rose Creek, Minnesota.
Tell the legislature about our views.
Express our views. We have a right to speak out too, just like anybody else.
I think they needed to hear what we had to say. It's important to show your views to the legislative people.
Yeah, and I'm going to admit I'm not good at it. So I need to do a better job at it, learn more about politics, get more educated about it, and share my views and express my opinion.
I'm Caleb, and I'm from Ham Lake. To be dead honest, I didn't feel like going, but my mom made me go, and I'm so glad I came here. It's just unbelievable. The talks were amazing, and they really hit on the spot. Jim Caviezel's speech was very powerful. All these talks have just made a difference. I really liked it, and I'm kind of glad my mom forced me to come here. Got to learn more about the Senate and how they work. Working on faith, like being more faithful.
Father Brian Cuiava from Bemidji, Minnesota, the Diocese of Crookston. It's so important for us as Catholics to get our voice out there and to come together as a whole church and just say, like, hey, we're still here and we want to have some sort of voice or some sort of influence in the laws that are being made and upheld in our state and on a national level too, but this is a great way to start. So we met with a couple of legislators. With both of them, we sort of presented bills that were trying to be moved forward as far as surrogacy commercialization goes and the first 1,000 days of a child's life. So anyways, both seemed very open, both seemed very interested in hearing what we had to say. So I was appreciative of that. There's great inspiration from the talks that were heard this morning, but also inspiration from seeing so many people from around the state coming together for something like this. That's a great thing. Plus there's just the practical, like being able to witness what it's like to interact with the legislators and to be able to talk to them and say like, hey, this is what I support and this is what I don't support. So it's just like, sometimes people learn best by just actually doing it. And so being able to experience that, it kind of takes away some fear and some nervousness, just providing them that opportunity.
My name is Selena Leung, and I am from Rochester, Minnesota. I think it was important to be here today for me as a young adult to just show the church, show our society, show the world that there are young Catholics that want to be invested in their faith and politics, right? Faith and politics, they go hand in hand. I've learned so much just by being here for, 3 hours? And that's why it's important to me. I want to be educated about this world that in my city and my state. It was very cool, actually. I never met with any kind of person in the government like that, one-on-one. It was cool because he seemed very genuine. He put a face to an idea or laws in my head, right? He was just very relatable. And he has background with Catholicism, which is also very cool. So just continue praying for him. Just seeing that this man that I call legislator is a normal human being like me, that has morals, that has principles. I just hope and I pray that he executes those principles into law, into politics. And so that's what I want to take home. I want to, tell my other friends from the young adult ministry and my family and that we can make a change. It's kind of us that has to take that first step. No one's going to be running to you and asking you, hey, how do you want to make a change today? No, it's us going out and seeking that.
How do you want to make a change today? I'm asking you, so get up, get off the couch, as our first interviewee said, and do something this Lent for the common good. mncatholic.org is the website to go to find out how you can be an advocate from your Catholic faith for the common good. Those were interviews at Catholics at the Capitol that took place on the 19th of this past month. Right now, we are headed into a break, and when we come back, other events that you can attend that will deepen your faith in the Lord throughout this Lenten season. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
And we're back on the Rediscover Hour. I'm joined by Paul Sadek.
Here I am.
Yes, yeah. What do we got going on, Paul?
Well, you're invited to the 2019 Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. This year, the theme is on the great spiritual doctors of the Church. The series takes place on Fridays during Lent, March 8th through April 12th, runs in Schuller Hall following the 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross in the Upper Church. The event is free and open to the public. Light refreshments served and a free will offering will be accepted. For more information, call 651-925-8800.
So many Catholics are searching for God in today's society. Have we forgotten that He is powerfully present within the baptized Christian? You are invited to a Lenten retreat at St. Michael Catholic Church in St. Michael on Encountering the Holy Spirit. Speakers include Monsignor Aloysius Callahan, Father Jim Livingston, and Father Michael Becker. The retreat will take place on Friday, May 8th from 7 to 9 p.m. and Saturday, March 9th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and includes time for confession, mass, adoration, and Stations of the Cross. The cost, $20 per person, breakfast and lunch included. For more information, visit HolySpiritAcademy.org.
All men, fathers, and sons are invited to the Archdiocesan Men's Conference Saturday, March 23rd at St. Thomas Academy, Mendota Heights. Theme this year, Arming Men of Integrity, with guest speaker Patrick Madrid from Relevant Radio. Conference runs from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Doors open at 8 a.m. Sacrament of Reconciliation available. For more information, visit thecatholicwatchmen.com or email Enzo Rendazzo at rendazzov@archsbm.org.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in your life and in the life of your parish. The Church of St. Pius X in White Bear Lake invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, April 6th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Grandparents, you're invited to the Nativity Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne. It's Monday, April 29th, 8:45 to 10:30 a.m., Steiner Hall at Nativity Catholic Church in St. Paul. Daily Mass will be offered in the church at 8:15 a.m. with a presentation to follow by Father James Peterson, pastor of Immaculate Conception, Columbia Heights. He'll speak on divine mercy in the life of a present-day grandparent. Refreshments will be served, and the church and Steiner Hall are both wheelchair accessible. To find out more, visit parish.nativity-mn.org or email info@nativity-mn.org.
So, Paul, that first announcement that you gave about the Lenten Lecture Series at the Church of St. Agnes,
yes.
Brian Wanless is going to be with us next time on the Rediscover Hour to talk about that Lenten series. So I'm excited to hear about
we'll
that.
We'll find out more.
Yeah, and a question for all of you listeners. What's the first resource you turn to for information? I'm guessing most people are going to say the internet, right? Well, if you did say the internet, you'll want to join us the next Rediscover Hour. We're going to hear all about the new website for the Archdiocese from Director of Communications Tom Holden and Nicole Mamura. And finally, Angela Belgeski and Michelle Steele are going to talk about the importance of chastity. All of that's coming up on the next Rediscover Hour. Remember to tune in to Facebook Live 9 to 10 on Fridays. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. They're there for life.
You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.